Okay, my dear friends, we are now on Daf Kuf Ches, but we're holding on Kuf Zayin on the base. I'm still recording to you from travel, today from Los Angeles. And we've got some pretty serious issues over the past few days, which should not discourage you. We're getting closer and closer. Let's start with Zokta Helika Mishnah. Ezoik Tanasha Tzicha L'Main, as we spoke about, there are times in which, even though Midiraisa, there is no way for a Ketana to be married, unless her father was in a position of power over her in terms of her nisuin, and this is only given while she's a ketana, during the period of the first 6 months, nairus. However, there's also ways for the father to have lost this if she is already married once and divorced, so that there's times where a ketana will not have any marriage with Yeraisa, but nonetheless, Chazal, in order to protect ketanais that don't have a family to live with, and do not have a father to protect them, basically to give her an opportunity to be married through the marriage that is accepted by a mother or a brother. And again, in order to avoid getting her trapped in a marriage that she doesn't want, she has to, first of all, consent to such a marriage, and secondly, they gave her the right to annul that marriage by the simple declaration of her unwillingness to continue to be married. So, asks the Mishnah now, Ezoi Ketana Shetzicha L'Mayin, who exactly would the Ketana be that even has a level of marriage that requires miyun if she wants out? One whose mother or brothers accepted kiddushin for her, but this is only the case where she herself agreed to the situation. Now, it's true that the Mishnah says her mother and her brothers. However, other relatives that are close can do this, and as a matter of fact, according to the Rambam and many other Rishonim, she can be Mekabelis Kiddushin for herself as well. But this is only where someone was Mekabel with her agreement. But he see Uha Shelo Ledata. If a well-meaning relative, however, accepted Kiddushin for her marriage or off, Yirtz Mashma Nisuin, we're going to discuss then. So if they did a marriage without her consent, then there's a Netzricha L'Mayin. She doesn't even need to be Mema'enes because the marriage had absolutely no validity. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, Omer, there's another requirement for the marriage to be considered to be binding enough to require even miyun in order to get out of it, and that getting out of it will certainly affect all types of dinim, such as the right of her kohen husband to be matami, her right to eat trum if she marries a kohen, the questions of Yerusha, and so on. So if she can't take care of the ring that was given to her, for instance, for her marriage, then that means that she's simply too young to have any connection to marriage. Okay, so now according to the Rambam, basically, which follows a major sheet among the Gaonim, the woman who can have a level of Kiddushin has to be approximately 6 years old in order to be able to have the level of maturity, and that's the same time that we say that the woman basically is capable, if even as a child, of buying and selling. As we saw earlier, there's a din of pu'utais. And they are mechalik between various ages. So in other words, before that age, which is around six, there's no such thing as any type of nisun and of midrabbanan. So there is no kiddushin for her at all. When she's six, then we basically test her. And if she's mature, so then we accept that there is a miyun required. When she already reaches 10 years of age, we don't test her, and we say that at that point we were misaking a marriage up until the point, of course, where she is already a gedela, which is where she's 12 years old with simanim, and at that point she's considered to be suitable, unless she's obviously a shaita and a cheresh and has other problems. But then she can have a marriage which is a diraisa. All right, so this is an additional requirement according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, as it should say, ein maase ketana klum. When a young girl who is not yet of age engages in any type of a kinyan, which has to do with marriage, it's absolutely meaningless. She basically is in the same state as a mefuta, elike mefuta. So in other words, if a ketana was seduced, so are we going to give her rights to truma? Are we going to say that her husband can be matami to her? And so on. So it's as if they have absolutely nothing between them. But kohen l'Yisrael, tochal b'truma, Bat Yisrael Kohen lo tochal betruma, she gets no rights to truma. If she's a bat Kohen Yisrael, she doesn't lose her rights to truma because she's not really considered to be married. Even though normally, of course, if she was a gedela, so long as she's connected to Yisrael, she would not be able to eat truma. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, kol akavashi himina ish, wherever she is stuck in this marriage or remains in this marriage because of him, ki'ilu hi ishto. So then that behavior gives her dinim to be the equivalent of a real wife. But kol hakavasha eina min ha'ish, where her sticking around is not because of the husband, ki'ilu eina ishto, that point I agree it's not as if they're married at all. That this is a very, very vague statement. And the Gemara is going to explain it at length later. Omer Rav Yehuda, V'am Lo Mamasiza Tana. Some say this was actually a price, others just say that it was said over by Rav Yehuda. Barishana Hayu Kotvim Geit Miyun, they used to, the Edom would write up what's called a Geit Miyun, so that they could give her over a contract. Get doesn't mean get. Get means a contract. And they would give it over to her in order that she should have proof of the fact, documented, that she was Mima Enes. And it would say something like, Lo Ra'ina Bey, I don't want this guy, Velo Tzavina Bey, I have no desire for this guy, Velo Tana Bayalin Asfrolay, I have no desire to be married to this fellow. And that was very formal, a lot of words. Given the Chosin Navish Tibura, when they saw that it was getting to be already a little bit flourishing, Amrei the Rabbanan said this is not a very good idea. Because Asil Achlufe Begita is getting to be so much legal language over here that they might actually get this confused with Gittin. So, I mean, maybe you would have a really foolish sofer who may think that this is the kind of Lashon that you could write in a get. And that would be absurd. Now, that's how some learn. Others learn that the pshat over here is that the meaning over here would be a problem, and this is the Ritva says beferish, a problem in giving her what may be a get. So they'll say in that case that she was actually married to him, and this is a real get, but if that's the case, it has all types of implications. The Gabi and Arias, so let's say one of the relatives would get married to her. So they would think that, that's not a marriage. After all, she's a real erva. But actually, she was never married to the guy. And in order to avoid this kind of confusion where people think this is a real get, so therefore, we don't encourage this type of language. And so they made a takana, takino hachi. And they said, this is what it should consist of if you're going to give her proof that she was mima enes. V'yom ploni, it's such and such a date. Miyana plonis bas ploni banpa. But so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so, did a miyun in front of us. This is so unworthy and so simply a documented event rather than something that creates the event. Nobody could possibly have confused it with a get. Tanarabba, ezehu miyun. Amra I efshi b'ploni bali. What would be a miyun? The woman says, look, I just don't like this guy. Efshi b'kiddushin shikichuni mi v'achai. I don't want the marriage that my mother or my brothers accepted for me. Yetra kenam Rabbi Yehuda says, forget about that. I feel like Yoshev is about Priyon. You know what? Even if we've got her all dressed up and we put her in that fancy palanquin to carry her to the chuppah and so on, and it's like she's really was into it. She's about to move from her father's home to the chuppah. And she says, I don't know what I'm doing here. That's a perfectly good miyun at that point. And even though Lamaisa, as Rashi points out, you would think all she has to do is get out of there and run. What happened to runaway bride? If she's really serious, Elamaya must be, she's got, you know, some kind of ambivalent feelings, but she's the very fact that she's staying there on that palanquin means that she's interested in going through with it. Kamash will review that that's not true. If this is what she said, then it really is a miyun. What's she doing there? She doesn't have the guts. She's too embarrassed to run away. But it's clear that this is not what she wants to do. You took it even another step. Even if there are guests that are there in the house, and she's going around and she's serving the cocktails and acting the perfect hostess, and as she's doing this, she's saying things like, I don't know, this guy really don't like him too much. That's also considered to be immune, despite the fact that she seems to be going along 100% with being this man's wife. So in other words, first of all, even though this clearly is not being done with a best in there, and she's talking privately, so that she doesn't want to make an official and formal statement. Nonetheless, we consider it to be a kosher meal. Okay, that's one way of learning. But others learn that, because after all, I mean, he's saying not only that, but so what, this is one way of seeing that. Not only that, but that's how Rashi sees it. Or we could say, if he hadn't thought this, so then we might simply not have viewed the meal, bichlal, as being serious because of the contradiction, which is the simple pshat in the Gemara. So this is the Yetra Kain. This too is a miyun. Yetra Kain, Omer Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda made another case. Her husband sent her to go to the makolet and to bring him something. And she says over there to the chenvani, she says, you know, I really don't like the guy ordering me around like this. I don't like him. That's the best possible mian. Even though you could say, look, first of all, there's only one individual there. Where's the two people to make it seriously? The three people to make her feel she's doing something the best? Unimportant. Also, as Rashi points out, you might think that, look, she's just upset at being ordered around and being sent to the makolet. So why should I have to go out to the store? For she's just basically moody. But this isn't meant as a serious desire to dissolve the marriage. Kamashmon, even so. Now, it says in the Mishnah that Rabbi Chanina ben Atingna said there's also an additional criteria that she can't take care of the ring, that's not considered to be a marriage. Rabbi Chanina ben Atingna, that indeed is how we paskin. Now, there's another kind of mian. That is, now we've been assuming that you first need to go ahead, do a mian, get your mian document, show that you're free, go ahead now, and at that point she can go, or her mother can go and accept kiddush from somebody else. But how about if she goes? She was never mima enes, and she accepts now a marriage from another person. So Tana, Kitana, Shalom, Yana. Suppose she was never mima enes in her husband. V'yamdavani said, and she goes and gets married to somebody else. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Amru, they quote Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra saying, Nisu'er ein hein mi'uneh. The very fact that she went to marry somebody else is a pretty clear indication that she's not too happy with her first husband. Iboilo, you said nisuin. That seems to be mashma, that only when she actually saw it through and went through to the chuppah, but how about if only nitkacha? How about somebody else offers her a pretty bracelet to be my wife? Not yet the chuppah. Is that a serious mian, or, you know, the bracelet's awfully pretty? It says the Gemara Tashma, Ketana Shalom Miana, V'amdavinit Kachan. It says Beferish that if Ketana didn't do mian but accepted Kiddushin, here again it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra who's quoted Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra on the Kiddushah Hein Hein Miuneh. The Kiddushin itself is considered to be a mian. And, I mean, in fact, it doesn't bother by the, why did it say before Nisuin? It's because he didn't even think that it was important to be medactic between Nisuin and Kiddushin. I mean, if after all, the whole point over here is the fact that she is interested in somebody else, then what's enough to mean? Well, how far it is that she's gone with the other person. The idea is that if she were happy as a wife, there'd be no reason why she's looking now to accept another Kiddushin. And therefore, it's a mian. Once already we're medayek, so then, enochinami, we have another psak over here to make it very clear for Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra that this is true of Kiddushin alone. Ask the Gemara, okay, but still, there are things here that are not clear. I mean, is Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, is this halacha that he's saying, al das kulam, except nobody else brought it out, or is it really a machlokas? Ibailu, pligi rabbanan le Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, olo. Are the rabbanan arguing, and they say you need two separate steps, first a miyun, and then a kiddushin? Furthermore, imtim salam rapani, let's assume that they are arguing. So, would they argue only in a case where it would be kiddushin, or would they argue afilu ben Nisuin, and there too, it's not enough to indicate that she's finished with the original marriage. And let's take it a step further. Let's say that they would argue. Even in the case of Nisuin, they'd say that's not sufficient. How do we paskin? Halacha kamaso, ain't halacha kamaso. Would we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, or is that halacha like the Rabbanan? And furthermore, v'imtim tzolomer halacha kamaso, if you say that we can find a place where halacha is kamaso, was halacha kamaso ben Nisuin only, which is far more of an indication that she's out of the first marriage, or halacha b'kiddushin? Says the Gemara Tashma, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. It says over here, stam, that Shmuel paskined like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. And since there's no indication it makes any nafkamina at all, when he said over this halacha, it was in reference to Kiddushin and Nisuin. It's clear, therefore, that he's saying halacha, it's clear miklal de pligi. I mean, you don't pass on halacha when nobody argues on the halacha. If he's saying halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, then there must be others who argue on Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. So that means, in all of the above cases, indeed, there was machlokas, and we pass on like him. Still, says the Gemara, there's something that is not quite clear to me. Akatiti boilacha. To have in a siva mi'ikar, when we're talking about over here, a miyun through acceptance of kiddushin to somebody else, was she initially a nesua to the first husband? So she had already been living with them as man and wife for a while. She went to the chuppah. Odilma mikachor. It was just that she had accepted kiddushin. So benogea, marriage that still hadn't been consummated. And so over there, perhaps it's enough of an indication that she's not interested in going through with it. So it's mevatel the marriage. But she was already married. So maybe ein achinami. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra himself wouldn't have said that. Tashma, says the Gemara, we can see basically from the following. The kalti da abdin imolut. The daughter-in-laws of Abdon, whom we met earlier, were moradot. Moradot means that they refused to have any sexual relations with him, and they turned their backs on their husbands. So, Shara Rebbe Zugid Rabbanu Levekino. So Rebbe, was Avdon's Rebbe, he went and sent now a chavrusa of Talmidei Chachamim to see what they could do about it, to see whether this was like a permanent situation, which they would need then to take care of in terms of how to fix their ksuva and their get. Anyway, they come, and Amrilu and Nashi, there were women that were standing there, were speaking to Abdon's daughter-in-laws, going to some of these are the same ones that we mentioned earlier that ended up being Mima'anot. Chazu gavreichu dekaatzu. Look, your husbands are coming over there. So, of course, well, it wasn't them, it may have been the Rabbonin, but they said, thinking it was indeed, they said back, yeah, our husbands, you know what, let them be your husbands. So when the Rabbonin that was sent by Rebbe heard this, they said, they told it to Rebbe, Rebbe said, I'm a Rebbe, in the Chamiyam, go to Misa. What better Miyam do you need than that? Now, I mean, is it not talking about over here? I mean, if they were Moreid, so isn't the Mashmaut, is that basically they have been married completely, and now they don't want to be intimate with their husbands. But this was an intimacy that had been an ongoing. And look how they were referred to. They're your gavreichu, your men. Your men are usually, we don't talk about, to women that have not yet been intimate with those men. So my love, the avinasiva, must be that they were married, and Rebbe said anyway, that kind of indication of let them be your husbands is enough to achieve a miyun. So apparently you don't need like an official formal miyun to take it out of nisui. He says, well, not necessarily. Maybe the idea over here is that they were only mekudashot, and the merida was that they did not want to go to the chuppah, did not want to have any type of intimacy with these husbands. Now, the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that ain't ma'asik tanaklu. Chuzrani, I'll quote Tadei Chachomim. I've gone over all the different shitas here. I couldn't find anyone who was really as consistent about this issue of the marriage of a katana as Rabbi Eliezer was. Because Rabbi Eliezer, notice I've changed, by the way, all the Elazars. This is consistent with the sugya. So Rabbi Eliezer makes her basically kimitayelet imo b'chatzer. He's looking at it as a boy and a girl who went out into the courtyard and basically were making out. That's all. So what's the story? She was a Kohenes. So what are we going to say? That she should lose her rights to Truma because she's making out with this guy? So she gets out from his lap. And she goes ahead now. Maybe she's Tameya because they slept together. It's okay, so let her go to the mikveh. And by the time the sun sets, and now there's no problem of being a Tvuyom, so then let her eat to the truma that night. So if that's the case, it means that as far as he's concerned, she is totally not married, whatever level of sexual relations may be taking place between them. We see that as being nothing but casual park sex. Now, there's also a brisa that discusses the implications of that psak, where Tanya, Rebbe Eliezer, Omer, Ein Ma'asek Tana Klum. And when I say that Ein Ma'asek Tana Klum, I mean, so because of that, since she's not really married to him at all, she wins the lottery, her so-called husband doesn't get any of that money. If she's making a salary, her so-called husband doesn't get that money. If she makes a netter, her so-called husband can't say, I don't want that netter and cancel it. If she dies, he doesn't get any of her money. If he's a Kohen, he doesn't go now to be mitame to bury her. Basically, and consistently, she is not considered to be really married. The only idea over here is that the Rabbanan created an acceptance of a relationship for her protection, which involves, technically speaking, sex without marriage. But there's no rights of marriage. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ba'ala Zakai B'mitziyata B'masiyah, that's not true. The point of creating a marriage is to make it a marriage. I mean, because of that, her husband really does have rights to the lottery, does have rights to money that she makes, just as any real marriage would have as part of the dinim of the ksuva. How can they do this if it's really her money? Because, of course, hefker bez din hefker. And in all of these cases, hafarat nedareha, he also gets right to her nedarim, even though this is a little bit of a problem, because if she's already a mufla, samuf le'ish, in other words, she's already in her 12th year, so then she can make a neder midiraisa, according to the Roshitas, and if that's the case, how can the Rabbonan give this baal the keach to be eker a neder, which is a neder diraisa? So, I mean, the truth is that the reason that we accept the husband's bittul, in this case, Aver Nedorim, or Hafar Aver Nedorim, is because of the fact that when she's Nederes al Daita. This is the Gemara ends up saying is true. In other words, once there's a halacha of Hafar Nedorim, we don't really need the technicality of marriage, because in the case where she is thinking of him as a husband, it's as if it's conditional on his approval. And furthermore, he can inherit her if she dies. And this again is Hefker Bezen Hefker. And if he's a Kohen, he's Metamela. Now we saw, we talked earlier how that's possible. And we said it has a din basically of a Meis Mitzvah. Remember we discussed the Rio over there, that since it's Korov to the way that the Torah would view it, we don't consider it to be literally being Eker Dover. We find a mechanism to do it. And generally speaking, the way to look at it is, Hareik Ishto L'chol Davar, she's basically his wife for all intents and purposes. The only difference is that she yotza b'miyun. The difference is that she goes out with miyun instead of with a get. Omar Rabbi, near in Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, Divrei Rebbe Yeshua. Seems to me that we should rely here on Rebbe Eliezer, because Rebbe Eliezer Yishva Midotav B'Ktanav Rebbe Yeshua Chileik. At least Rebbe Eliezer is completely consistent. When it comes to Rebbe Yeshua, he seems to make artificial distinctions. In what sense? As the one my Chileik, what do you mean that he makes artificial distinctions? Well, I mean, look, Yishto Yitiboy Get. I mean, if you're telling me that they're really married, so why isn't that did we create this thing called Miyun? Why didn't we say that she should require a get? So that's not consistent. I mean, you could say the same thing the other way around, no? I mean, can't you say also, according to Rebbe Eliezer, Ilavishto Miyunami Lotiboy? If you're telling me that they're not really married, so what's this Miyun? How do you explain Miyun? Says Dumara, what is that supposed to mean? Not have Miyun. So what are you going to say? That she should simply walk out? I mean, if that's the case, then that means they achieved nothing. It was only casual all along. We can't create a concept of a relationship that simply disappears without anything. So over here, there needs to be a way out. The way out is the formality of miyun, which indeed, you're right, it could be that the miyun itself is so simple to achieve that the very act of marrying somebody else is a miyun. But we certainly can't say that there doesn't need to be a dissolving of a relationship which the Rabbanan are attempting to create. Okay, the last thing that we learn in the Mishnah is that Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, very strange words, that if the Akava is Mina'ish, then it's considered to be a marriage. If it's Kavash Eina Mina'ish, what exactly does that mean? Hechidami Akavashi Mina'ish, Vakavash Eina Mina'ish. When we're talking about her hanging around from the husband, not because of the husband, what actually defines that? Om Reb Yidom Reshmuel, it means like this. Suppose somebody, Stiva'u Alinasei, somebody goes ahead now and offers a proposal for marriage. And she says, what do you mean? I can't accept a marriage. Machmat ploni bali, I'm already married. And how can I do that to my husband? So, zoya kavashi minaish. This means that she's hanging around in a marriage with the assumption that she's married. So then that means, in that case, you would have to do something to be mevatel that marriage. But if she says, machmat b'nei adam she'ena mugunimli, if she says, I can't take that shidduch, these people are not on my stature, so this is not an appropriate shidduch for me, so then Zoya Kavashin Aminei. So then she's making a point of the fact that, you know, forget about this guy that supposedly I'm married to. I mean, this guy's nobody. And that means that she is basically assuming that she's not married. So in other words, the pashtus over here is that the question is whether this itself is considered to be a miyun. So if she says, I can't accept this because it's not a good shidduch, so she's basically been ma'enes in her husband. However, this is not the way that Tosfos understands the Gemara. Tosfos understands that what we're talking about over here is that, and the reason, I mean, Tosfos has a very, very simple question. If it means what we just said, that this is a miyun, so then is that this not an indication in and of itself that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? Because it's a mashma over here that it's considered to be immune under any and all circumstances. Okay, so, I mean, certainly if she would go ahead now, and she would go and accept it, would be immune. Tosfos learns that the point over here is not immune. The point over here is the determination of whether this was considered to be midata, which is a deeper question than immune. So in other words, let's say your mother accepted kiddushin, and then they come along and they offer her this other relationship, and now we're saying, if she says it's, this is not appropriate. But she doesn't say that, well, you know, my mother already accepted the shidduch, so then clearly it's shalol adatam. You don't even require me. That's the point. If she says, but my mother already accepted it, so that means that she's viewing it as a real marriage. And therefore she does mute. But it means that this is irrelevant for the previous sugya, according to Tosfos. All right, so this is one way of understanding Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov's cryptic statement. There's a completely different explanation by Abaye Bar Avin and Reb Chanina Bar Avin, which is as follows. Natan la get. Suppose now the husband gives her a get. So Zoe Yaakovashi mina ish. That means that until now, this woman basically has been hanging around because she requires some act of his to free her. And in that case, we view the get as if it's a real get, even though, of course, it's only Darabonan. V'hu asur b'krovotah, because of that, he's never allowed to marry her relatives, so he can't marry her daughter in the future, her mother, and so on. V'hi asur b'krovav, and she is forever forbidden to marry his krovim. U'psalam minakunah, furthermore, this is a real get, and she's not allowed to marry a kohen. On the other hand, if she goes and is mima enes, so then that, it means that she has been hanging around in this marriage because of her determination. And the moment she's decided she doesn't want anymore, she just walked out. So that shows that Zuya Kavashe Namina Ish. And because of that, we don't view it as a marriage at all. It's an old. And therefore, Humutar Bekrovotea, Vimutar Bekrova, Velopisalamina Kuna, because over here there was no get. But wait, that doesn't the Mishnah say later, Akatani Lekamat, Amina Enet Beish, Humutar Bekrovotea, Vimutar Bekrova, Velopisalamina Kuna. Indeed, this part sounds good. If somebody goes out and does me, and then there's no permanent damage from this marriage, he does not consider to be a grusha or anything like that. But natan la get, which is mashma, that even if we have now the subsequently, so there is now the other case, which means that this can't be the case we were talking about until now, where he gave her a get. So this can't be the case of akavash einu minayish. You're telling me that the first Mishnah says, specifically, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, this is what it was referring to, and then the next Mishnah repeats the same thing again? Says the one, no. It's Pirushik HaMefarish. Indeed, the next Mishnah is explaining, really, the words of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. What is the difference between Akava Mina Ish and Akava She'ina Mina Ish? Zakter Helik Mishnah. Hamima Enet Be'ish. There's an annulment, there was no marriage, it's not a get, and so on and so forth. But natan la get, hu asur b'krovotea, hi asura b'krovav, u'pesalam minakuna. Now, how about if, here's where it gets interesting, how about if he gave her a get, and then he goes and he marries her again, v'chazira. And then, the second time around, she goes ahead and she does miyun. And then, nisayt la'acher, and then she gets married to somebody else. And then that somebody else dies, or she gets get from him, right? So now, is she allowed to go back to the first guy, or basically do we treat her as a grusha? She's now, if he takes her, it would be a magzir grusha to la'achar shenisit la'achar, where it's an iser, you're not allowed to, even though over here it would only be Rabbanan, of course, but consistently with viewing this as a marriage, Rabbanan would have asked her to go back to her husband after she already had lived with another man. The halacha, however, is that mutarat la'chazarba. In this case, she is allowed to go back to the first guy. So the reason being that now that she was Yotze from him with Mion, this Mion, even though the first time she had a get, it was Akava Minaish, but the Mion basically shows that all along she was married as a Ketana and that she can dissolve and annul the marriage. So nobody is going to confuse this with a Ma'ase Grushasa. So as long as the latest Yetziah from him was through Mion, people are going to realize she was a Ketana, there wasn't a real marriage over here, and that's why he's remarried her. But how about now, if Mion obo v'yechzira v'natan laget? Suppose it was the other way around. He was initially married to her, and she was Mima Enes. And he takes her back again, and this time he gives her a get. And now, niseit l'acher, she goes and gets married to somebody else who then dies, or gives her a get. In this case, then it would be Asura Lachzarlo. She cannot go back to the first husband. Because the latest Yetziah from him, the marriage ended basically in divorce. And if that's the case, it looks exactly like a Mazer Grusha Asulach Shanisis Lachar. And obviously, that is prohibited. Zakla, Get Achar Mion Asura Lachzarlo. So the rule is that where the last thing was the get, so as the get comes after the Mion and she went ahead and married another guy, she cannot go back to her husband. But if the last thing that was motzi her from her marriage was Mion, even though initially there had been a get, then Muteret Lachzarlo, she can indeed go back to the guy. Right? So no matter how many times this takes place, we look at what the latest Yetziah was. The latest Yetziah being a Mion means that she's allowed to go back to him. The latest Yetziah being a get means that if in the interim she had lived now as a wife to another man, she would be asur to go back to him. Okay, now how about a Mima Enet Beish? So this girl gives me into a man, and now the second guy gave her a get. And then she went ahead and married a third man, to Liacher, and then she gave Mia to him. And then she married a fourth guy, Liacher, this very, very active young lady, the Girsha, and he gives her a divorce. She's probably in Hollywood, which is where I am now. And then Liacher, whom Mia Nabo, and then she goes ahead now, and she's Mima Ennis and yet another man. So in this case, the rule would be as follows. Zehakla. We have to now follow the rule. No matter who it is that we're talking about, how many times this takes place. Koshi Yotza Himena Beget Asar Lachzorlo. Any one of these husbands that she actually left, not through Mian, but through a get, to that husband, she cannot go back. So it was over here. She can't marry the second guy again after having been married to the third guy. She can't marry the fourth guy again after she was Mima Ennis and the fifth guy. So in other words, a Mian doesn't cancel, doesn't make it clear that the previous marriages were marriages that are only Mirabana. Now, this seems to be a stira to what we just said in the Mishnah before, that once she gets Mian, after a get, it makes it so clear that she's a Katana, that nobody's going to mix this up with a real Maasa Grushasa. And over here it appears that people will mix it up, and that we can't use a subsequent Mian to be Mavato, an earlier get. So Kol Shiyotze Mena Beget Asur Lachzor Lo, despite the fact that there was a subsequent Mion from another guy, and Kol Shiyotze Ben Mion was Muter Lachzor. As long as she now was Yotze from this particular person with a Mion, she can always go back to him, because then it's clear that she was never really married to him. Okay, so now we said he gives her a get, and then he takes her back, and then she does Mion, and then she marries somebody else. So then it's mutter now for him to take her back. So what does that mean? That alma ati mion mevato gets. You see from here that a mion that's given later basically takes away the problem of there having been an earlier get, and we consider them to be not really married, and nobody will confuse it with the marzik grushosa, and therefore it's all right. The problem is, v'raminu, what are we going to do now with the next part of the Mishnah? The next part of the Mishnah says that I'm in the when he says Liacher v'girsha, and then Liacher u'mianabo, and then Liacher v'girsha, and then Liacher u'mianabo. So we got basically five husbands over here. That the rule is so what does that mean? It means that we look at this particular relationship, right? So if she had left now, we terminated this marriage with divorce, he can't go and take her back after she's lived with someone else. Terminated the marriage through her mian, they were never married, and he can't. This despite the fact that when he terminated his marriage and divorce, she had another marriage which had terminated in mian by her, which would mean, amaloati mian dechavri uvato got to the day. So we see that the subsequent mian is not mevato on earlier get. Okay, so we have now a contradiction within the Mishnah itself. I mean, isn't the fact that there's a mian show that there's no marriage before? Omer Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, this is really serious. Tavra, you know what? This Mishnah is basically busted into two. And it's got to be that there's two different Tanayim, and it represents two different Shitas. And Misha Shanazo, Lo Shanazo. So whoever taught the Reisha obviously does not hold of the Sefer, and vice versa. It must be that one Tana holds that Mion doesn't change the way that people see a marriage that had terminated in divorce. Says, well, I understand. My kusha, what exactly is the problem over here? I mean, maybe Dilma Mian Diday, Mavato Geti Day, whereas Mian Dechave, Lo Mavato Geti Diday. I mean, all the Mishnah is saying is that it's only where the marriage to the same guy subsequently ends with Mian that it can cancel a marriage to this man that had previously terminated in divorce. But why should people put together two and two that since she was married to another guy and ended it with Mian? So that means, therefore, that really the marriage to the first guy was not a real marriage. Because of that, you can't really expect that a mion from one other person infects him. So everything works perfectly well in the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about the marriage to him that ended now in divorce and then remarried, before being married to anybody else, remarried to him and ending in mion. That over there, if she goes and gets married to somebody else, he's allowed to take her back. But if she married somebody else, that not, even though that marriage ended in mion. Ask the Gemara, but I mean, my Shna Mian Dechavik Lom Mevato Gita Today. Explain why we would say such a thing. Now, there's certainly nothing really different between the Mian to the second guy than the Mian of the fourth guy, right? Of the first guy, because after all, it makes it absolutely clear that she's a Ketana and that it wasn't a real marriage. So who cares? The only way, I mean, I understand the problem would be that Aide, the Makarat Beremizotav, Ukritzotav, Ozo Meshabeshu Maisali. It must be that you're saying that, look, she has already had time to develop a relationship with that first husband, right? So if he moves his arms in a particular way, and he throws her a kiss and so on, and or winks at her, so that would be enough for him to turn her on, to do miyun to the guy that she's married to now, and therefore, we don't want to put him in a position that he should be able to influence her to get rid of that husband and now marry him, come back to him. So because of that, the Rabbanan, we're misaking that even if she would do a miyun, so we look at it as a ma'aseh gerushas. She can't go back to the guy. So we can't have a situation where he doesn't have to do anything that anyone else would notice, but she is very sensitive, so all he needs to do is crack an eyebrow, and he's basically telling her, look, baby, I gave you a get, but man, I'm ready to have you back. And then she turns to her husband, you know, I don't really like you too much, comes back now to him, which is really a very very debilitating, znus-like situation where it's going to allow the other guy to continue influencing her. Okay, I understand that we make a takana that she can't go back, okay? But, I mean, if that's the case, so then we should say that even a miyun on his own, miyun di deinam lo levatel gita di dei, we shouldn't allow his own miyun to be mevatel his own get, because the idea of makar peri mizil tavu kritzel tavu azo meshav shum aisele. I mean, isn't it the same issue? Since she knows him so well, he might try to get her to be mema enes in the second guy. So what's really the difference? She says, well, what do you mean? What's the difference? Rava makes a great deal of sense. O kvar shapsha velo yishapsha. She already basically walked out on him, right? Because she was mema enes. If the case was that he had divorced her, so I understand that by indicating, you know, baby, I want you back, that she may end up now coming back to him. But in a case where she walked out on him, where over there, I mean, if he wanted her, he was trying the whole time to say, no, look, it's fine, we'll work it out, and, you know, we can work it out, and it didn't help, so why is it going to help now that she's got another husband? He already tried working it out with her, correct? So therefore, there's no problem. If indeed she's mimanis, then let her be mimanis and come back, because it's clear that she was never married. If there's really a problem, Rava, it's so clear that if there's really a problem, it must have been a different problem. Now, Ikash, if there's a problem, I'll tell you where the problem is. The contradiction is in terms of the Chavya, the Chavri Kasha. There's a contradiction over here in the implications of the Mishnah as to what the din would be, legabe, a miyun of another person and its influence on the case of the first husband. Because, take a look, the Mishnah says, miyanabo virzira. So if she was Mema Enes and he took her back, and then Natan La Get, when he said Lacher, and then he gives her a get, and then she goes and gets married to another guy. So now, if that guy gives her a divorce or he dies, and Darmelo Nidgarsha, Azura Lachzor. So now she's not allowed to go back to the other man. Okay, now look carefully at that psak. Is it not saying 100% that the only reason she can't go back to the first husband is time to Darmelo Nidgarsha? Because he died or gave her a divorce. I mean, why would it have to specify what happened? If it could have been miyun too. So the mashmaut is it's only because he gave her a divorce, only because he died. But suppose she had been mima enes in him. So then despite the fact that the first husband had given her a get, since she was mima enes, and the second husband, she's allowed to go back to the first husband, right? The only way to do that is alma ati miyun dechavri mevatel gita didai, which you're saying is that the miyun of the second, that she does to the second guy, makes the get that was given to her from the first husband into a non-get in people. So I just don't understand that really she was basically not really married to him. But then the Mishnah continues on, v'raminhi, so how do you make this now fit the last part of the Mishnah, where it says, ha'mema enes b'ish v'niseit l'acher v'gersha, and then l'acher u'miyana, and then l'acher v'gersha, and then l'acher u'miyana, and so on. Ze'a klal kosh yatz temena b'get asur l'achzor lo, b'miyun muteres l'achzor lo. So you see from here that if there was a miyun from the husband that had married her after the one who had given a get, she's not allowed to go back now to that first guy. So you see from there that lo asimian dechadmi mevato kitadidai. The fact that she had a marriage now that ended with miyun is not sufficient to cancel the first get to make it obvious that they were never really married. This is a real contradiction. So over here, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Tavra, oh, this is really serious. How are we going to get out of this? Must be there's two different tadoim in the Mishnah. Mishi shanazo, lo shanazo. So there's clearly a Tana who holds that a miyun is capable now of canceling a previous get. And another Tana holds that the miyun, that is to one person, has nothing to do with implications of the husband before. If he gave her a get, there's no way to take her back. Now, although Rebbe Elazar said there's no way to reconcile the two, Ula says there is. Ula Omar, kegon sheshirsha begitin, demichazeh kigedela. You'll take a look at the closing part of the Mishnah, Basically, I mean, she was divorced over here 3 times. And therefore, if she's married 3 times, with every single time she has a get, and every single time there's another marriage, this certainly does not look like a katana. This looks like one of these movie stars with a long career. And if that's the case, here we can't say that getting the mian is going to make her look like a katana. On the contrary, the whole history makes her look like an adult. Okay, so even though lamaisa we don't have a 6-time series in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is easily understood as a case where it was multiple. So sometimes the Tana doesn't go ahead and keep talking. He makes it clear what he's talking about. So what we're going to say is, therefore, according to Ula, that we're talking specifically about a case where there was multiple divorces and so on. There are people that are just not going to believe that in the short span of time available to a Katana, where she would be doing Mionim and so on, that she was already divorced 3 times, married 6 times. Seems impossible. Okay, now, according to Rebbe Lazar, who holds Tava, and that it can't be the same Tana, who exactly would this Tana be? I mean, do we have any indication that there is such a Tana? Mantana. Omer Yonomer Rav, I'll tell you. If you take a look at the following Brisa, there was a, the following Maimer, which mentions Tanoim. So he tells over a story. You know, the Torah says in Eicha, Meimeinu b'chesef shasinu, Eitzenu b'mechir yavo. We drink water, we have to pay for it. We have now eitz, which can also mean not only wood, but it could also mean someone who gave us an eitz and told us what to do. So that we had to do b'mechir, that we had to pay for. So what the Gemara says now is that this is referring to the time when the Romans controlled the Torah of the Jews, and put Rabbi Akiva in jail, and there was no way that anybody could ask shailas without risking their life, and so on. This is what it's referring to. It was during the time of the Roman decrees that nidbaksha halacha zo. We needed this halacha, namely, what is the din when the first husband gave her a get, and the second husband she gives mian to. And we wanted to know, does the mian of the second one to the second one cancel the get from the first one, and therefore there would not be a gezeira of its appearing to be a ma'ozi grushosa. So what they did was, and here's where we talk about paying for the water that we drink, the Torah, the piskei halacha. So we socharu adam echad be'arba me'od zuz. They paid a guy $4,000, basically. V'shalu es Rabbi Akiva beit asurim. And he risked his life to get the question to Rabbi Akiva, who was imprisoned at the time. And he said, she can't. V'yasar, that a mian of another guy will not cancel the get of the first one. And they also sent to ask Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Netzivim. And he also answered. So in other words, you see that Rav holds that, or tells us over that Aliba the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the mion of a one person, the second person, is not mevatel the get of the first person. So that means that we've now identified the Tanoim who hold that mion of one is not mevatel the others. Okay, so here we would be basically following the das of Rav Aliba, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Om Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. This is not the kasha that they needed to pay money for. Lezolo hutzrachnu. We didn't even need to ask such a question because it's obvious. Lisur kareti tartef. If giving mion is sufficient to allow now an iser kares, I mean, you're saying that all she needs to do is to do mion, and now she's no longer an ishesish, right? So what you're doing is you're created a way in which there could be an annulment of a marriage. So, I mean, why in the world would we be more machmir when it comes just to an lisser lav? Lisser lav lo koshikain. I mean, to take back a wife after she'd been married to somebody else is not an isser karas, certainly not an isser misa like an eshes ish. And why wouldn't mion definitely be good enough for that? So nobody would have asked a question like that and paid money to go risk somebody's life and to ask Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, I'll tell you what the problem was. Bram kach shalom. The question that they had was, how about if a certain kitana was now the wife of a person's mother's brother? So now, the wife of a mother's brother is only a shniel arayas. Remember that the Rabbanan created this as an erva because it's similar to eshes achi aviv, right? Okay, so now she's a shniel. And now what happens is, he goes ahead and dies, right? Or maybe gave her a get. And now Nisa'ath Yivmi Aviv, now his brother from a common father marries her and dies without children, and now she falls for Yibam. So the question over here is, what we'd like to know is, can we tell her to do Yibam now, and now make the first marriage, which had created the status of the Shnia, and now we have a Shnia falling to the Yavam, but if she now is Eker, the first Kiddushin, so now there was no problem now of Shnia, and at this point, to Yabim, there'd be no longer an Isser, and there'd be certainly no problem now of Tzoras Erva, and she would be able to, at least to be Mekayim, to do the Mitzvah of Yivam, because it makes it clear that if she was Memanes, she's not a Shnia. My question is, Yesh Miyun Liachar Misa B'Makom Mitzvah Lo. Can we utilize the mechanism of Miyun in a case where the husband is already dead, but now we want to annul the marriage retroactively in order to avoid a situation where it's going to prevent us from doing a mitzvah, such as over here where now there's no way that we're going to be able to do Yibam. So this they needed to know. And this, some people don't have the Shnei B'nei Adam, because why would that change before it was only one? Ubal was Rabbi Akiva b'Beis Asurin, v'yasar, they asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira in the Tzivim, and he too was Asar. This is a much more complex issue, that the Miyun after Misa is not even usable in order to do a mitzvah. Now, it's true, and I'm sure it's bothering some of you, it's true that before, we definitely did find a case where it's possible to annul a marriage through Miyun after the death of the husband. And that's the whole Shita of Ula. Remember that Ula held that it's possible to do Miyun, I'll leave it at Beis Hillel, on Zika. And the only mechanism that we have for doing Miyun on Zika, obviously, is that it was a Miyun that annulled the original marriage. And in annulling the original marriage, it actually creates a heter now for the woman to go get married, even as a Yavama. But here we're not allowing it. Why the inconsistency? So, I mean, in a chinami, we have to recognize that Miyun requires an object of some sort. I mean, who is she being Mima Enes in? If there's a Yavam, so we can say she's Mima Enes in the Yavam. But over here, there's no husband, there's no Yavam. She wants to be Mima Enes in a guy who's no longer alive. There's no such mechanism of Miyun. That's what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva were saying. Omer of Yitzhak Bar Ashiyan, Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Ashiyan says that, look, it's true that Rav said over here that the Miyun remains now a Marzer Gushasai, even though she was Mima Enes, because she had originally gotten a get. But you should know that Modeh Rav Shemuteret LaAchiv Shel Zeh Shenesra Alav. Even though Rav said that she was Asura to go back to the husband, definitely she's not really considered to be married to him, and she could go ahead and marry his brother. So in other words, it's not that we're viewing her as a real Grusha. She's not a real Grusha. Everybody knows that she was never married. Nonetheless, we're not allowing her to go back to him. So people are, well, Pshita. Obviously, remember that what was the whole point over here of not going back? The whole point was because we wanted to avoid a situation where the original husband was going to go and wink at her and make it clear to her that in ways that nobody else would notice that he wants her back. So who knew the makert b'rmizotav v'kritzotav? I mean, she has learned to be responsive to his little winks and indications. But avalach ivlo, the brother, how does she know like the brother's kritzot? And there's no way that the brother's going to get her to be Mima Enes and now come back and marry him. So therefore, it's like, forget about the Takana. The Takana shouldn't affect him because it's irrelevant. And therefore, of course, it would be true that Rav would say that's okay. So whatever, Yitzchak Bar Ashiyan has to tell me that, says the Gemara, certainly. Because Mao de Tema leagues are high or too high. People are going to certainly feel this is a little bit inconsistent. It's something of a if she's married to the guy, she can't go back to him. So then she's forever Asura to his brothers. How is this? She can't go back to him, but she isn't allowed to marry the brother. So mashmalan, that nonetheless, the Chachomi made a specific takana, not to give it a shame as if it's a real marriage, but simply a new iser of being magzir grushos ha-shemiyana. Ikari Amri, others say, that Amr of Yitzhak Bar Ashiyan, just the opposite. Some have even the mamish in the name of Rav, Omara. Kishem shasura lo, kach asura la'achid, that on the contrary, she actually is asura, even to the brothers. To which the Gemara says, how could that be? Is it the whole problem of the Isser that she's makeret bekrit sotav, or rimizotav? And over here, how would she know the brothers? Ha'ino makeret bekrit sotayim, rimizotayim. And therefore, we have no chashash that they're going to talk her out of her marriage and lead her to be mima'enes. And then the Gemara answers, in other words, because we needed to create a mechanism of marriage, so if we're going to allow the brother to marry her, so people are certainly going to realize that she was a ketana, and that apparently a miyun afterwards is mevatel a get, and she can marry the first one. But how could we have an inconsistent gezeira? So according to this lashon, ein achinami, we need to be gozer a marriage across the board.